Praise the Lord. Welcome to our Friday evening podcast. Glad to be here with you with my wife, Julie, my son, Benji, and my other son, Nat, sitting over there at the producer's table. God bless you for being here. We're going to jump right into it. We've been talking a lot recently about pressing. That's where God has us, being a people that press. That's if you go and read the Apostle Paul over and over and over and over again, he kept stressing the idea that if you're not pressing, then you're in trouble. Basically, that's what you're in. If you're not pressing,
right,
you're in trouble. And so we were sitting here just a moment ago, and as always, we never pre-talk about anything. We want everything to be fresh. So as we got in here, I sat down and I said, you know what? What's the Lord saying today? What's the topic of today? And I believe it was Benji. He said, well, he said, you know, you're speaking about pressing every week. He said, what's the opposite of pressing? And I don't remember if it was he or Julie, but it said, it's settling. Settling. Settling is what people do when they don't press. And Benji said, Dad, when's the last time you've talked about settling? I said, well, it's been a while. So we're going to talk a few moments about what the devil tries to make us do, which is he doesn't want us to press. When people are pressing toward eternity, then devil doesn't like that. When people settle, even again, this is, and I'll just go ahead and jump right into it. The devil is so sly. He gets us to settle about things that sound spiritual, or that sound religious, or that sound good, that sound like, oh, well, surely this is something that God would want me to do or have. And so we put our stake in the ground and say, I'm claiming this. And what we're really doing is claiming something less than what we should be doing, which is pushing, always pushing. Paul said, this one thing I do. What's the one thing? He's always pushing for that upward call. As soon as we decide not to push, as soon as we decide not to press, we're settling, and the devil has his victory. And, you know, I remember years ago during a message, I talked about, I was talking about the United States in this country. I said, you know, this country was built by people that decided they weren't going to settle, that they would push over a state, and then they'd push over another. Well, at that time, there were no states. It was just land.
Territory.
Colonies.
And you're going way back. I wasn't going back that far. But they would push. And, you know, when you read their stories or you watch movies about it, you almost think to yourself, man, how foolish were these people? How foolish were they to leave the safety of where they were living and to push over land and that was unsettled, that was wild, and they have made a decision, we're going to take our families and we're going to go places that we have never been before, that maybe no one has ever been before, and we're going to begin a life there. And because they decided to push and to press, it eventually took over the land that we now know as the United States of America. This isn't a history lesson. You know, this isn't some American dream lesson. That's not what this is about. But I'm trying to give you a picture of what it means to not settle. And in fact, when those people decided to stop somewhere, what were they called? They were called settlers.
Right.
The people that kept pushing further, what were they called? They were pioneers. God wants pioneers in his kingdom. He doesn't want settlers. He wants pioneers. And the original pioneer, and this is where we'll start, the original pioneer was Abraham. Abraham had his life. He had his inheritance. He had his family. He had everything that everything. He had everything in his father's house. But God came to him and said, Abraham, or at that time he was Abram. He said, Abram, he said, I want you to go. And that's where God started. He said, I want you to go.
He said, get out.
He said, get out. Get out. Get out and go. He said, you're going to become my pioneer. And he said, I want you to go. And he said, I want you to go to a country that I'm going to show you. And if you go and you read that story, and then you go and read the story in Hebrews that talks about it, looking back, what does it say? It says Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And it literally even says he didn't know what he was looking for. It says he did not know where he was going. That's the definition of a pioneer. That's the definition of not settling. That is what it's all about. It's saying, I don't know where I'm going. I just know that God has said I've got to get out and go. I've got to go to a land that I don't know. And the Bible says that when he actually got to the land, that he didn't settle then. It says he had a tent, and he took his family, and he moved around looking at the land that God was going to give him. He still didn't settle. He was a pioneer by nature. That was Abraham's life. And who are we called to be? We're the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
We're the seed of Abraham, and as the seed of Abraham, the devil gets victory over us when we decide to settle in our lives. And here at the City on the Hill, you know, we're talking about this prophetic ark that God has spoken over us. This ark that and the ark life that God is beginning to show us what it's all about. It's a life of pioneering. It's a life of saying we're not. Even though the ark is a spiritual ark, not a physical ark, spiritually we're saying we're never going to settle. We're never going to settle into a routine. We're never going to settle into a life of just try. Well, let's just sit here and see. Let's see how many people we can get to fill the seats. That's not what we're about. We're about pioneering and pushing higher and upward, the upward call of God. For what reason? Because we want to bring Jesus back. And God is looking for those people that are willing to get to heights and places that no one has gotten to before, that no one has reached before. God is looking for those people that are saying, we're going to push and we're going to press. And we're going to upwardly push, and we're going to set our minds on things that are above, as Colossians says. We're going to press on, and we're not going to settle until the day that we're able to say, here, Jesus is coming back. Here's our Lord and Savior returning to earth. That sounds like a fantasy to most people, because most people are either deceived, or they've given up on that idea, or they've never even thought about doing anything like that. But I know the Lord put on my heart many months ago when all of this first started, that when God finds a people that want to bring him back, then Jesus will come back. That's when he'll come back. When he finds a people that are looking for and hastening, as Peter said, trying to make it happen. When God finds that people, they're not sitting there settling and preaching about, well, you know, there's this date in the future, or, well, you know, when, you know, let's look at what's going on in this country or in the Middle East, or that's not what God's looking at. That's settling. That sounds religious. It sounds spiritual. It sounds prophetic. It sounds good, but that's not what the Word of God teaches. You can throw out scriptures about different countries and different places. You can make anything you want to sound prophetic. That doesn't make it the will and the heart of God. The heart of God is, I want to find a people that are pressing for the upward call of God. Mm-hmm. I want to find a group of people. I want to find a remnant. That's what we're about. That's what this sign up here says. It says the remnant. I want to find a remnant that is pushing and pressing, and they won't settle until the day that Jesus returns to earth. Go ahead.
And you know, going back to Abraham,
when God first came to Abraham, what did he say that, what did God say that he was to Abraham? His shield?
Yes.
An exceedingly yes. great reward. And a reward, is a reward something that you just sit and wait for, or is it something that you have to go do something for?
Absolutely. It's there is this idea that I've been talking about recently when we talk about Noah. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then I was talking, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was Wednesday night, but I was mentioning something similar in a different scripture. Again, I don't remember, but there's this idea in the Word of God of people that find grace. And the Bible says in Hebrews, and you know, I hate to go back to this, except it's what's needed to be heard today. It says, lest any man fall short of the grace of God.
Yes.
What's the opposite of finding something? It's falling short of it. If you're pushing toward it, you're going to find it. But if you settle, what are you going to do? You're going to fall short of it. You're going to fall short of your goal if you settle.
You stop looking.
You stop looking.
You stop searching.
You stop looking and you stop searching for it. And you know, there's this idea that Jesus set out as a principle that we just kind of forget. But he said, it's like a man who finds a treasure or a pearl of great price, and he sells everything he has to go, because nothing is worth settling. You have to go after that treasure. You have to go after that pearl. And he goes so far as to say, he says, so what if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? In other words, if you can't stop pressing, you have to do whatever it takes to get that pearl of great price. You have to do whatever it takes. You can't settle. You have to stop. You can never stop pushing. You can never stop pressing. The devil, I remember saying this years ago, and it still so holds true. But the devil, for 2,000 years, has counted on the fact that God's people are going to settle. He counts on the fact that God's people are going to go so far and then decide, you know what? We've pleased God enough. Let's sit here and just rejoice about how we've pleased God. You don't rejoice about, you know how you rejoice about pleasing God? By pleasing him more. That's how you show God you're excited, is by pleasing him more.
And that's where it comes into play that Paul, who was an apostle himself, said that he hadn't reached it yet. He was pressing on.
Absolutely right. It is not just necessary. It's more than necessary for God's people to never settle. The devil will do anything, and I've said this recently about other things, and it's true for this. He will use anyone. He will use a husband. He will use a wife. He will use a son. He will use a daughter. He will use grandchildren. He will use a parent. He will use a best friend. He will use a job. He will use a school. He'll use anything and anyone in any circumstance. He will use money. He will use a lack of money. He will use getting a lot of money. He will use anything that he can.
Opportunities.
Any opportunity. Anything to get you to settle. And the sad fact is that, here's my favorite number, 99.99% of Christians fall for the idea of, well, this is God. This is God. So I'm planting my feet right here, and I'm not moving upward anymore. And that, again, is not just 99.99% of Christians. That's 99.99% of churches. And they teach that. And people get comfortable, even to the fact that as you drive by and you see church signs and stuff, you know, hey, welcome home. Welcome home. Hey, take off your shoes.
Get in your recliner.
Get in your chair. I was going to say couch, but recliner's even better. Go lay down. Hey, just welcome home. You just be comfortable here. Dress comfortably. Be comfortable. We might even feed you a little bit. Hey, guess what? We're going to take the kids off your hands for a little bit. we're going to take the kids off your hands, and they're going to be safe. And we're, you know, it's welcome home. It's the idea of settling. Look at that beautiful valley over there. Let's go find that valley and make it our home. It's beautiful. When God says, I'm looking for pioneers.
Oasis that you talked about.
Well, exactly. I don't know I'm glad she remembered it. I don't know if any of you remember it, but remember what I said. You got to make a decision. Do you want the oasis or do you want the promised land? Because all the people that were in the wilderness, only two of them made it into the promised land. Only two. And you got to decide, does that oasis, that beautiful oasis that looks like it has everything we would want, does that oasis please God? Or does it please God to say, no, I'm not going to settle. I'm going all the way to the promised land. And this was so important in the Word of God that if you go to Hebrews, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It talks about entering the rest of God. And it says, if you're not careful, you're going to end up like God's people who didn't enter his rest. You're going to end up like them because they were settlers and they weren't pioneers. And it says they didn't get to enter. And it said, beware, because you might do the same thing. And when it says entering that rest, what's it talking about? Well, it's talking about heaven.
Yes.
It's talking about eternal life. But you have to be always, you have to look at your life and say, is my life pushing for that upward call of God? And again, I'm going to say this. I hope people understand this. This isn't something that you could just go sit and do on your own. The moment you sit and you say, well, okay, I like what you're saying, prophet, but I'm just going to do this. You can't do that. It has to be under the anointing. That's the principle of the Word of God. You can believe it. You can hate it. You can like it. You can discard it. You can do whatever you want to, but it's the truth. It has to be under the anointing. It just does. I learned that a long time ago. And you have to dig in to where the anointing is. We were just talking about that last night.
It's throughout the Word of God.
In our family and how we did that with my dad, our prophet. You have to dig into where the anointing is and say, I'm pressing for the upward call through the anointing. It is. It's all throughout the Word of God. Well, let's just talk a little bit more about this not settling. And one of the things that comes to me is if you go and read in, I think it's Luke chapter 17, Jesus gives a little statement. And it's just a little statement, but it speaks volumes when he said this. He said, remember Lot's wife. Yes. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was settled in Sodom. It was settled. She had made her life, even though God literally sent his angels on behalf of Abraham, sent his angels to rescue his family, Lot, his wife, and their children, on behalf of Abraham. God literally sent his angels to rescue them before the destruction fell. That Jesus said, he said, you better be careful. Remember Lot's wife. And he said it because Jesus knew that that's the same thing the devil uses to attack God's people today. And it says that as they left the city and they got the angel carried them out of the city. What did it say that she did? It says she turned around because her body was outside the city. But her heart had settled. Her heart had settled. And it says she immediately turned to a pillar of salt. Why? Because that doesn't please. When God's people settle, and you say, well, if God really doesn't want this for me, I was reading this somewhere recently, some ministry, I think I was talking about it on a Wednesday night, some ministry that has started doing parties to try to attract and give having like open bars and stuff to try to attract people to Christianity. That's become their church. And literally they said this, well, if God doesn't want us to do it, then he'll stop us. Thinking, how ludicrous is that? Do you really want God to turn you to a pillar of salt? Is that really what you're saying to God? God just, if you don't want us to do it, turn us into a, and it's only because God is merciful that he doesn't immediately turn half this country into a pillar of salt.
Well, and even maybe not so blatant as that, some of what they're saying is, well, if God doesn't want me to do it, he'll tap me on the shoulder and speak into my ear and say,
well, you know, and
that's just a cop out.
Well, that goes back to what I just said, though, is that you have to push under the anointing, because people, they no one's going to like what I'm about to say. But that's the reason why God has prophets, true prophets, in his body. It's because people think they hear from God. They think they hear from God. And the devil, man, the devil uses that. The devil uses that. And I would venture to say, again, here goes that number, that 99.99% of the tapping of on the shoulder and the whispering in the ear is not God doing it.
Right.
Not God. Because if it was God, then we would have brought Jesus back by now.
Yes.
Right. It's that simple. And it's very sad what the devil has done to people's lives.
It's so messed up.
And he sits there and he laughs. And he actually sits there and says, these people think they're hearing from God. They don't know they're actually going to hell. You say, well, that's not Bible. Really? Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? I say it every time I minister. Jesus said, they're going to come to me and say, Lord, we prophesied for you. We prophesied in your name. We ministered for you. We did great works for you in your name, Lord. We did all these things for you. And what did Jesus say? I never knew you. And the devil sits there and laughs. He laughs at people. He laughs at ministers. He laughs at these so-called prophets. I just heard a word from God. I just heard a word from God. And the devil looks over at his demons. He said, we got another one. We got another one. That's why it has to be under the anointing. That's why even Abraham himself went to the anointed king, Melchizedek, because he wanted to make sure he was under that anointing. You have to understand how the devil works. You have to understand how the devil works. And you can't settle. You can't settle. I think about someone that we've been talking a lot about recently, Jacob and Esau.
Yes.
I think it was Wednesday night we had our Ark Encounter here, and I talked about we don't understand how important Jacob and Esau really, their story really was. And it's why Hebrews uses it. Because Esau was supposed to be the next great man of God, or leader, a patriarch, let's call it that. He was supposed to be the next, it was supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau settled. He settled. And he says, I don't need my birthright anymore. I don't need my birthright. And Jacob wasn't perfect, we know that. But Jacob said, I'll do anything for that birthright. I'll do anything. Hey, I'll wrestle an angel for my birth for that. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll lose my hip and walk around limping for the rest of my life for that birthright and that blessing. I'll do whatever I have to do. But Esau settled. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he wept and he cried, but there was no place for repentance. There was no place. Why? Because once you settle and you give it up, that's it. That's it. And the devil says, I've got that person. I've got that person. You can't settle. You can't throw away, give away, or anything with your birthright. It has to be. You have to. It has to be everything. That's why God has placed this ark here, for there to be a group of people that say there is nothing more important than that holy birthright, and together we're going to go after this birthright until we bring Jesus back. That's who this people are. Most people that are listening, I'm sure, knows our history and our heritage. But it was a group of people that decided that they weren't going to settle. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to settle. This holy heritage, this prophetic, holy, anointed heritage, God has used for 160 years now, 70 years, mm-hmm. to do the same thing that we're doing today. And this people said, we're not going to settle. And it brought them from their country in Armenia to here. And then when they turned around and looked, everyone that stayed behind was killed. Everyone in their village was killed. And in their country, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people were killed. Christians. Christians. But this little group, God said, I can bless you because you decided you're not going to settle. You're going to be a pioneer. You're going to be a pioneer. And I'm telling you, that's still what's in my blood today. And if you're joining with us here at the Ark, that's what's in your spiritual DNA. To be pioneers and to push and to say, we're never going to settle. And I want everyone that's a part of this place, we're coming up on our sacred assembly time. It's about pushing. It's about pressing. It's about moving forward. It's about saying, God, we will never settle, no matter how uncomfortable it is. No matter how much we don't know. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Literally didn't know where he was going. It doesn't matter, God. We're pushing. We will never, ever, ever, ever settle, because that doesn't please God. I don't know. You have anything else you want to add?
Well, just, I guess, kind of like a flashing marquee in my mind as you're talking. I just keep seeing the scripture, Luke 16, verse 16, says, and everyone, says the kingdom of God, you know, was preached since John came. The kingdom of God was preached,
yes.
And everyone is pressing into it. And I just keep seeing it.
Well, and I'm
pressing into it.
Let's go back to we were talking about God's people and who didn't get into, no one got in from that generation, only two. But one of the people that got in was by the name of Caleb. And the Bible, what does it say that Caleb did? It says he wholly followed the Lord. He never, that literally you could say that means he never stopped pressing. He never settled. He's a God. Wherever you go, I'm putting my nose into your back, and I'm going to keep, wherever you go, I'm following and I'm pressing. To the point that even when he was what was considered an older man, 85 years old, mm-hmm. Even when he was what's considered older man, said, hey, I'm not set. They said, why don't you take this easy place down here? Take the easy place. He said, no. He said, God promised me that mountain. And he said, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. He said, I know you're trying to honor me by giving me the easy land. He said, I want that mountain because that's what my God told me I was going to have. And today, that's the same thing the devil does. Oh, you know what? God understands.
Just take it easy.
He understands. We've got some good place right over here for you. Why don't you come sit right over here? Just take it all in. This is a good thing. Where God's remnant, the few, where's God's remnant that says, no, I'm not going to settle. I don't care how good it seems. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to be like Caleb, and I'm going to go get my mountain that God has promised me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to climb remember we used to talk a lot about climbing the mountain. I'm going to go climb that mountain. It doesn't matter. I'm climbing that mountain. Well, praise God. I hope everyone's heart has been touched about settling, how the devil tries to make us settle so that we don't press. Benji, close us out.
All right. Coming up, we have our regular services, including Sunday morning, 11 a.m., which we start with communion immediately. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Those are in person. Those are also on our online social platforms. Our social platforms include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and our new website. Is it cityonahillchurch.net or coachurch.net? Our functions that we have every day of the week include devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can check out our podcast on Spotify, wherever else you can check out podcasts. Siri and Alexa can even play these podcasts for you. And I want to extend an invitation for you to join us here at the City on a Hill Church in person and see what being a part of the Remnant and the Ark of Salvation is all about.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. I hope you come and join us if you haven't. If you haven't already, I hope you come and be with the people that are going to press. Come be with the people that are going to press. We're not going to settle. And sometimes when you're pressing, it's hard. It's hard. Jesus said the narrow gate is hard. Nothing easy about it. It's hard. But it's what pleases God. And if we please God, my goodness, then we're going to see all things be possible for us. God bless you. We'll see you next time.